Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
It's time for the B-A-Q-A. Hey, the B-A-Q-A, what you say? The B-A-Q-A with Manday. The B-A-Q-A with Tiffany. The B-A-Q-A. Welcome to the Brown Admission Question and Answers. You got questions, we got answers, although we're not your attorney. Nope. We're not your financial advisor. We're not your mama, but we are two beautiful, smart brown girls who know a thing about money, career, business, you know what I'm saying? So if you have those questions, you can send them on in, brandonpitchpodcast.com, ask anything, or like, you know, you can send us a, an audio note on Instagram. We'd love to hear those, and we might introduce you and bring you into the studio to ask those questions live. We're going to talk it's our career, but this one is actually career-ish.
Career light.
Business. It's business.
Business.
Oh.
Mixing business with career. That's fine. Let me read our first question from Anonymous. Let's go. It says, hello. I was wondering if you both could possibly touch on finding an attorney for a business. I'm reading Get Good With Money, getgoodwithmoney.com, and saw where Tiffany has a section on getting an attorney as part of your money team. She even lists a resource, which was really nice. However, after checking out the attorney's page, I wanted more information on best practices to select an attorney, taking into consideration costs, etc. What should be outsourced to an attorney, and what can we potentially handle doing on our own? Additionally, if you're open to it, could you touch further on DUNS numbers, trademarks, copyrights for a business, or provide more resources to consider for research purposes? Hope this makes sense. Thank you, Anonymous.
It does make sense, Anonymous.
Not to me. What's DUNS numbers? Is that the Duns and Bradstreet thing?
No, DUNS numbers. It's all, I forget what it is again, because I have it for my business. And I forgot, like, just that quickly. I was like, what was that again?
That's okay.
DUNS numbers is Universal Numbering System abbreviated. It is a proprietary system developed and managed by DUNS. Okay, yes. So,
oh, it is Duns and Bradstreet. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It's like your social security number for your business, yes. Kind of.
Exactly. So So it's important to have that because it also will allow them to see, like, I think it's attached to your business credit. So you can kind of like track with your DUNS number, there are things that you can apply for that you might not otherwise be able to do. It's not the same as an EIN.
Which I feel like is more important. You need that the tax ID number.
Well, you have to.
I don't have a DUNS number.
You don't have to have a DUNS number, but you have to have an EIN.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like EIN is the more important. It's like the one you've got to have.
But anyway, so one, let me say that I have the best attorney in the world. Her name is Toni Moore. She's a sister, M-O-O-R-E. Her business is Legally Chic. Follow Toni on all the socials. So I didn't have an attorney, I don't pay Toni monthly. I don't have a retainer. I just hire Toni to do attorney-esque things. So in the beginning, I will say I took care of a lot of things myself. So I trademarked the Budgetista myself when I first trademarked because I didn't have the money, you know? And I think it was like $275 to apply. I did make a mistake, but I will say with trademarks, they do assign you an attorney. And mine was super nice. So the trademark attorney who was like assigned to my case or whatever called me. It was like, girl, what is this? So kind of was like, am I supposed to be walking you through this? Do this, do this, do this. And I was like, thank you. So you can trademark yourself. You just take your time and you could do the now. If I want something, I just send it to Toni. But I would say I didn't start working with Toni for, it's been maybe 3 or 4 years. I've been in business almost 15. So for the first 10 years of business, I did almost everything myself except for what I absolutely had to get an attorney for. You know, we did a lot of get that contract off Google, which I'm not saying is great, but I get it because you don't always have money. And then what happened over time is that we replaced those things. I'd be like, you know what? This is the year I'm going to have Tony look at our, you know, our employee contract. And she'd be like, girl, is this from YouTube, Google? I'm like, it is. She's like, girl, this is not going to hold up in court. I had Tony update our NDAs. Then, like, if I want to trademark something, like I trademarked Dreamcatchers, I trademarked the Budgetista, Molly Moore, Tony, like even because I think after 10 years, your trademark expires. So I didn't even know because Tony did not initially do my trademark for Budgetista. I did. And I didn't know that it was expiring. She hit me up and was like, hey, Budgetista, like, it did expire. I was like, wait, what? She said, girl, your trademark is floating out here in the wind for someone to scoop it up. Do you want me to apply for you? I was like, oh my gosh. So a really good attorney will look out for you holistically because Tony said for all of her, the people that she works with, she keeps a list of all of their trademarks in general, even if she didn't do it, so she could just check on them, which thank God, because girl, somebody could have got Budgetista, then where would we be?
There's so many different like types of attorney and like practices. So does Tony do like a little bit of everything? And then
yes,
I feel like this person also was like, where do you find an attorney? So like, how did you find Tony?
So I say one of the best things ways to find a business attorney is to ask other small businesses, because likely that person has a similar budget to you, you know, and you know, is likely to someone who is like, oh, okay, if you can afford them, likely I can too. And also too, you know that, you know, you can ask questions, have they done a good job? Are they thorough? So Tony is very much a jack of all trades type of attorney. But I will say I also have an entertainment attorney now, because you know, after doing Netflix, I have other projects pending. It was Tony herself that says, I can look at the final if you want me, Tiffany, just to give you kind of like some behind the scenes, girl, ask them this. But because it's very nuanced, that industry, I have a specific Nina Shaw, attorney at law. She's amazing. Google her. She's a fabulous Black woman who is like well-known in the entertainment industry. And that's my entertainment attorney. But then I also had an attorney where when I really needed to lean into complicated contracts, not to say Tony can't do that. She can. But I kind of was like, Tony is my day-to-day. Here's my trademark. Take a look at this real quick. Da, da, da. And then when I have something that's really, really big and important, like I said, not to say that she can't, but because she's doing already so much and I want to prioritize that, I have sought out attorneys who do specific things for a one-off. So I would say it's okay to do things for yourself in the beginning, but I would not negotiate. I mean, I had a friend who negotiated her own book deal and got child screwed. I mean, didn't even make probably one third of what she should have made because she didn't have, you know, representation. And so there are some places it doesn't behoove you to skimp. So major contracts, you know, it's, so what I do is, and here's the hack, try to get an attorney that you can get for a lump sum instead of like this hourly, like, okay, I can review this and I'll charge you. It's like, well, my budget's a little limited. Can you just say like, can you give me a flat rate for this review? So that way there's a little more back and forth. You don't have to say, I don't want to ask that question because it's gonna, so that was really helpful that it's like, okay, I'll review this contract for $600, $1,000, whatever that is. So yes, ask other people, make a list of all the things you're needing and potentially an attorney for. If you don't have the budget, you know, there's some, you could certainly do the legwork yourself to do some of those things yourself. Like honestly, you just go to the trademark website. It walks you through, you know, it asks you the question. You just fill in those things. You have to understand that when you trademark, though, that you're not just trademarking. Like, I trademarked the Budgetista for a specific category, but because there's other categories, you know, you could potentially, you know, somebody might be able to open up a Budgetista restaurant. I don't have the trademark for that. That's why you've seen Four Seasons, the really fancy hotel, but there's also a Four Seasons garden shop. Because the fancy hotel Four Seasons does not own the trademark for garden shop. That's why having an attorney help you with that is really important. But yeah, ask questions, see if you can get lump sum fees, because that will save you a lot of money and it'll save you a lot of stress. And honestly, I'm not gonna lie, you need to get cool with your attorney. Some of y'all, like, get cool with them, because I can ask Tony like sidebar questions. I have a friend that every time they even like say the word attorney, their attorney sends them like a $150 bill, you know? But I can be like, Tony, real quick, is this right? Or I can have Tony look over. I had Tony look over everything. Sorry to my book agent. She's listening, girl, but you already know what it is. That like, although she negotiates my contract, my book agent, I always have Tony look. I'm like, is there something that maybe was missed? Because Tony is my last eyes on things like that. So I'm telling you, like having an attorney, you know, and making room for, even if you can't traditionally afford overall, for those things that could literally break your business, scrape up the coin and save and to pay for that service.
Yeah, from my perspective, the only attorney that I've had to hire is to pursue my trademark. And the reason I hired an attorney is because I found out that there was already an application for my trademark, Mandy Money, out there. And it was a financial, like a financial planner. And we have different businesses. But anyway, she had trademarked it. And it was even Mandy with a Y. And I like naively thought, well, mine's Mandy with an I and it's different, you know. But my trademark attorney, her firm specializes in intellectual property. I did not know her before I hired her, but I was referred to her through another influencer, like Delian Barrows from Deli and the Money Coach worked with her. And I wasn't sure if I needed an attorney because I know how to do a trademark. I filed, we did Brown Ambitions trademark before we did with Tony, like I was looking into doing it anyhow. But it was during that first consultation when she was like, click, click, click. And then she's like, oh, there's this Mandy Money is actually going to be an issue because there's, I forget all the legalese that she used, but it's confusion in the marketplace. Like they were, she's like, I can promise you they're never going to approve this. So I did engage her. And to Tiffany's point about like hourly fees, there's like four people on her staff. And she basically gave me the rundown of here's my hourly rate. Of course, hers was the highest because she's like the boss. And then she has like a senior attorney and then an associate, then a paralegal. And you go down the line and she's like, we will assign casework to the appropriate person, but always, you know, striving to do it most economically. So it was helpful to have that hourly breakdown, but it wasn't even an hourly breakdown. It was like every 6 minutes. It's like a bill every 6 minutes, something like that. I know. But she came up with a retainer. It was $5,000. So basically I put $5,000 on hold with her because to do like a, it's kind of like an unknown process. Either you're going to be waging war, trying to prove that you were the first person to use your trademark that another person has applied for. She just wasn't sure how much work it was going to take. It has not ultimately cost all those $5,000. And I have a good update this week is that they were able to get in touch with the other Mandy Money's attorneys. And they've agreed to a consent order.
I had to do that too. Yep.
Yeah, which basically means we can both play and we can both be Mandy Money and we acknowledge the other exists and it's fine. So it looks like I'll be spending a lot less than that. But this was too much work for me to do on my own. So for me, it was worth the money. And because her firm only does IP stuff, I felt really like I was in good hands. Other than that, I feel like honestly, the most important person on the money team for a business is like your accountant and your bookkeeper. You know, like that's where I would focus on first.
But like I said, these are one-off, you know, like you're not going to need an attorney all the time. Like, and as, sometimes there are people who do both. Like I have my spokesperson agent, Ellie. Like that's one person that I don't have Tony look at those contracts because Ellie does such a thorough job of like, she's not an attorney, but she is a master spokesperson negotiator. So she does all the contracts. So she negotiates and looks at the contract and redlines it. So, you know, there you might just know that like, to Mandy's point, you know, if something is really important, like Mandy Money is her name, it is critically important. So she knew if it's going to cost, it's going to cost. It's worth the money, you know? And then something lightly, you're like, oh, you know, it's like, I might try that myself, you know? So yeah, just keep that in mind. But like I said, one of the tricks for me to keeping those things down is negotiating. Not every attorney is going to go for it, but negotiating a flat rate or fee for certain things. So I can set a budget and say, I know it won't go over this. Or if it is an hourly thing, setting an hourly thing was like, but it's not going to go over this, you know, that just helped me. And I've been able to negotiate that.
Big girl stuff. It's not fun. It's not fun shelling out 5Gs, but I'm trying to look at the long term.
Girl.
Like, I want this business to last for a while. I'm kind of going to need my name. So,
I mean, I had to, with one of my, I probably, I don't know if I signed an NDA, so I won't say, but one of my major companies, I had to do that. someone else applied for the name. And although I was using it like definitely years before, you know, they got CSC, but we just basically agreed it's not that serious. We'll just both play in this space. So I have a contract that just says you can use it, I can use it, because it's totally different. They're using it for a blog and I'm using it for something else. So, you know, that's always out there too. But you should, at the very least, I think it's called TE, let me tell you what it is, with trademark lookup. So at the very least, you should be looking up anything you're potentially wanting to trademark by, there's like a lookup search. So USPTO, it's called the TESS account, right? So USPTO.gov, and you'll see search trademark database. And so you'll be able to, like, you know, a word search. Usually I just do word and I just type it in, the Bajanista. Like if you were to type in the Bajanista, you know, you should see Tiffany. Like you should see me. Bajanista, because that'd be crazy. I'm like, wait, what? It's not me. Yes, Bajanista. There's a word and a mark, you know? And so if you see, actually I'm in here, one of them says dead. So dead is because I told you it got canceled. Girl.
She had to resurrect it.
I mean, so the cancellation date was 2017. Can you imagine? But it said so now it's live. So, you know, thank God. So even if you want to, actually, matter of fact, this is a good practice for you. You will see December 3rd, 2013, I actually trademarked the $B that Bitcoin uses. Before Bitcoin came out, I had it trademarked. And if you go in and you look up Bajanista, you will see the $B. That was my logo. I don't know what to do about it. I just keep it now because I'm just like, whatever. Maybe one day it'll be happy.
Yeah, you talked about that before.
Yeah. Yeah, so now, you know, I still own Bajanista, thank God. But like, yeah, I let it expire in 2000. If you look, I let it expire in 2017, got it back 2018. But during that whole time, I was like, what are we going to do?
Fingers crossed.
So yeah, great question.
We'll take a quick break, y'all, and be right back with another juicy question from the BAQA.
Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen. America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
All right. I guess I'll take this one, or I'll read this one. This comes from Niall, the Niall. All right. Niall says, I'm a new listener to your podcast. I found you through Delianne Barros's Diversifying podcast. Shout out to Delianne. And I've been hooked ever since. I got a tip from a coworker that one of our sister locations had their marketing manager put in their 2 weeks notice, and I want to apply for the job. This would be me essentially jumping ahead to positions. The problem is I have very little experience in marketing. In fact, my major was cinema studies with a minor in criminal psychology. I worked alongside marketing events and social media teams, but not enough to be a manager. I'd essentially be starting from scratch. The last person was paid around 100K, but I was wondering if it would be smart to ask for 80K, knowing that I barely have 1 year of experience in that field to get the job. My company encourages upward mobility, and my boss is on board with me following my bliss, so I thankfully have no roadblocks in that respect. I want to apply regardless. That way I can at least be told what I need to be a good candidate in the future. But with shooting lower, better my chances of getting the job in general, then maybe I can work my way up to that six-figure paycheck. Any advice you financially fabulous aunties can provide would be so helpful, even if I have to have a glass of wine and a notebook beside me while I listen. Sincerely, Niall.
Ooh, man, okay. She called you an auntie. Nah, don't do that with your 25-year-old self.
I'm actually 35, so I could be her auntie.
I know, I'm just teasing. I can definitely.
She said
be her
financially
mom.
Fabulous, rich.
Yes,
auntie.
I'll take it, girl. I'll be auntie because I'm a real auntie in real life. So why not?
I've been called first. This is interesting. Only 25, jumping two positions. I mean, I think it's great that you even that you know what the last person was paid. I think that tells me that you're like asking questions. I wouldn't actually give them a number. This is like an internal move for you. It's at the same company. So I would just go through the interview process and see what kind of offer they give you. I would not give them a number. And I'm going to assume, you know, for you, it'd probably be a big jump to 100K. I wouldn't expect 100K given your level of experience. And also, you don't really know the story, or maybe you do, but we don't know the story of the person who was in that role before, how long they were in it. Maybe they were poached by another company. Maybe they told you it was 100K, but that was like 90K with a 10% bonus and total comp was 100K. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't put so much store in getting to that 100K number exactly. You kind of have to chart your own journey here. Although it's good to know certainly what to strive for. At the end of the day, if the workload is going to be the same, they should be paying you in the same ballpark. But because they know what you're currently making, you are at a bit of a disadvantage there because they may not, they may have certain policies or processes in place to not give someone like as huge of a jump as that may be. I don't know what you're currently making. You didn't say. But yeah, I would say strategically, do not give them a number. Go through the hiring process, make them really excited to hire you and use it as a learning opportunity, like you said, and then see what their offer is. And then when you get their offer, don't be shy about countering it. I just had this wonderful success story from one of my Mandy moneymakers. Her name's Dana. And she was working internally at this company for years. And then they gave her, they put her on a rotation, like a contract, like 6 months and into a manager position where she had to like hire five people and manage a team of five. And they didn't give her a raise. And 6 months turned into nine, turned into 12. Then finally, 18 months later, she's still working as a manager, no raise in sight. Finally, they were like, it's time. We have a job that we're going to offer you and we can make this official. And she had a one-on-one with me for coaching advice. And I was like, she almost didn't want to counter because she thought it wasn't going to happen all this time. She's like, it's not going to happen. I'm grateful it's happening. And I was like, you have to counter. You have to counter. And she ended up getting 20% more than what she was currently making. internally. And so you can counter internally at your company. So I would encourage you to do that, but don't give them a number first.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm all for like, because there's a statistic, which of course I'm going to mess up. I should have been looking it up. But basically, it's like in order for a man to apply for a job, something like he has to feel like he has like 20 or 30% of the skill set.
Yeah.
And in order for a woman, it's like she has to feel like she has like 80 or 90%. It's something in that ballpark. And, you know, I love that you're like, girl, I'm about to jump with this 20, 30% because why not? You know, I actually was like talking to someone today who's in the finance space and she's a big influencer. And she was like, hey, this organization wants me to speak. How much, you know, I don't do a ton of speaking, although she's like really popular, but by how much should I charge them? And I told her, I said, well, I'll share my rates with you because currently my keynote, because she's doing a keynote, my keynote is 100,000. I said, but that's just recently because I went from, when Netflix came out, I raised my keynote from 50 to 100 because I said, why not? Because whenever I do something that solidifies that I'm one of one, my price has to reflect that. Because it's always like, you could either get me or go get more money because you're not going to find a match here. You know, I have set myself aside to be a one of one. So I was just telling her that and she was like, what? I don't know if they're going to be able to pay. I said, not only they're going to pay, I work for that company. They paid me 50. And she was like, wait, what? I said, exactly. So here you are saying like, oh my God, you know, I'm afraid because they said they're looking at other people and they just want to see what my price is. I said, the girls got it. The girls got it. They pay me 50. And I said, it was this year. And guess what? They pay me 50. Well, the year before they paid me 30 because that's what my rates were the year before. And the next year I went from 30 to 50 and they paid it without pushback. I said, it's you that's holding yourself back. So you just, sometimes you tell yourself, someone is not going to, they're not going to see the value. They're not going to. And so last I checked, she said she's going to ask for like, you know, like at least above 50, which I was like, great. You know, but I will say this, that it is important for me anyway, that if I'm asking for 50 to 100, I have to feel confident in my ability to deliver. You know, like we're not just making up numbers here, because I see that a lot in all of these entrepreneur spaces that the girls will tell you, hey, girl, you need to do a high ticket item. Is the item though worth the high ticket? You know, you're selling a $50,000, you know, high ticket item to what, you know, but for what really? So for me, you know, I'm like, I know after 15 years of speaking and then 10 years before that being a teacher, which is a speaker, that I will deliver $250,000 worth of value. So I feel very confident in saying 100. I had one huge not multi-global because only one globe, but like huge global company come to me when I told them 50 and they balked at it like, ooh, not you, black girl. I mean, did I say that out loud? And so I was like, yeah, that's what it is. And so when they didn't want to pay it, thankfully it was a sister on the other end. I was like, girl, don't let them do me like that. I was like, for real, don't let them do me like that. I said, you see my list of credentials. If I was a white man, you would pay it. Don't let them do me. So I emboldened her and she went back and was like, don't you do my girl like that. They paid the 50. I over-delivered. And guess what? Afterward, literally the executive person that was in charge of it was like, Tiffany, you were worth more than that. And I'm sorry that we even questioned it. So that's what I mean. It's not just enough that you're going to ask for more, 25 girl, niece, since we aunties, niece, make sure that you're going to turn up and turn out when it comes to that job. If you're not already turning up and turning out, like where you currently work, you ought to be. So that way they're like, damn, you know, that 80 we're paying her, she's worth way more. So just keep that in mind that like, you know, you get to set your value, but to make sure that you're bringing value and you know if you are.
Wise words from Tiffany, the boss, Budgetista. All right, Niecy Niall. Thank you so much for your question.
I like that, Niecy Niall.
Little Niecy Niall. Thank you for your question. If you guys want to be on the BAQA, you know what you got to do. Hit us up. We are Brown Ambition Podcast on Instagram. You can also email us through our website, brownambitionpodcast.com. If you want to be live in the studio, or the stew, as Tiff says, the youths are saying it, then send us a voice note on IG. You only get 60 seconds, okay? Just warning you. You may need to send multiples, but also don't. Be brief, and our producers will be checking those DMs, and you may get invited to join us live for the BAQA.
Hey, BA fam, we could not do this show without your support or the support of our team behind the scenes. The Brown Ambition podcast is produced by Cumulus Podcast Network. It's edited by the wonderful Imani Crosby and produced by Tanya Bustos. Dennis Stemplinski is our in-house tech guru, and I am Mandy Woodruff-Santos, your co-host, and I will see y'all next week.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.